It was clear that Andy was going to be the second boot of Survivor 49, and it was clear to everybody, except for Andy, who thought that she was the puppet master. She thought that she was running the show, and it was hilarious how delusional this woman was to think that she was the one calling the shots and that she was the one running the game. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Treep from Treep Talks, and today we are going to be recapping episode number 2 of Survivor 49. And before we do that, make sure that you guys hit that subscribe button, click the bell icon so you get notified every single time I drop a new video. We talk reality TV on this channel, so make sure that you subscribe for all of your reality TV needs. We started things off in this episode with Annie being completely delusional. She legitimately thought that she was running this tribe, saying that she doesn't care if they go to tribal because she wants to vote somebody off. Later on in this episode, the four other people in this tribe are all going to be together, and they're all going to be looking for the idol. And Annie's the only one that is left out of this, and Annie's the only one that is not looking for the idol. To be that unaware of your surroundings, that where is everybody? What are they all doing? And all four of them are just deep into the woods with a big ball and chain looking for the idol, unlocking an idol, and you are back at camp doing whatever. Obviously, the camera didn't pick up on Annie and didn't follow what Annie was doing because she wasn't doing anything interesting. And you still think to yourself, I am the puppet master. I am the one controlling the votes. Annie was pretty much dead in the water by the time that this episode started. Despite her solid pitch to Sophie about wanting to target Jake, she said that if he gets to the end, he beats everyone. Now, I wonder, is it too early to be dropping these little winner hints? Is this like a Banu in season 46 where he was going off about Kinsey being this, a mermaid dragon and saying that she is going to cut everybody and win at the end or something like that? Is this Jake's little winner hint that Annie at the very beginning of the game wanted to cut him? If we don't, then he's going to beat all of us. He's going to win at the very end. Or am I looking too much into this? And that snake in the very next episode and the scenes from our next episode is going to be the thing that takes Jake out. Not too sure. And I probably am reading a little bit too much into this. Going a little bit more into Annie, again, her delusion to think that she had everybody under her thumb after being the decoy vote. Literally, this last vote is absolutely bonkers and crazy. And when Jake heard that his name was the one that she was throwing around, the shoe bandits returned. And I see people on social media saying, I'm tired of the shoe bandit. I'm done with it. And to that I say, are you just done with fun? Do you not want any of this fun nuance in the show of Survivor? Would you prefer just everybody be rah-rah loyal like in Survivor 48? Do you prefer everybody just be strictly game bots in Survivor 47? The shoe bandit thing is a pretty fun that Jake is doing right now, and I think it's fun. I think it's a fun little storyline, and if that snake doesn't take Jake out, I'm very interested to see how this develops if it goes to the merge, and I think it'll be fun. You know, Survivor fans have a little bit of fun. Throughout this episode, I was kind of surprised, especially early on, that Alex was so candid and still wanting to work with Annie after she basically threw him under the bus. And despite that, Alex was still, you know, like, okay, you know, I like Annie. I need to work with Annie, even though she's a ticking time bomb. I was surprised that he was still like, okay, well, you know, I still want to find a way to work with her. We find out later on that it's more than just a little bit that he wants to work with Annie. It's a pretty big extent that he might have wanted to keep Annie, or he may have wanted to work with her a little bit more closely than he actually did. He almost worked her like he was trying to earn her jury vote, you know, despite Annie being the second boot of the season. But we'll talk about that a little bit later on. And a big part of what we're going to be talking about later on has to do with this, with Alex finding the beware advantage with Jake. And I'll tell you, this was such a weirdly placed advantage. Literally, the two of them were walking through the woods, and it looked like it was just sitting on the ground next to a rock. Like, it was just in plain sight. Just looked like it was sitting on the ground. Didn't seem like it was, you know, hidden at all. It just seems like it was in, like, plain sight, and was just like, hey, Alex, beware advantage right here. It's like production just threw it, like, right in the middle of the island. And Alex had, like, zero reaction to finding this thing. He was just like, no way, dude. Beware advantage. Can you believe it? The whole thing was weird. Like, it was like, this is not hidden very well. And Alex, you did not have that big of a reaction to finding this. Throughout the journey to finding this idol, I mean, they had to dig up tree mail to find this big old chain, this ball and chain, to unlock a box that had an idol in it. You know, Survivor, if you want, you know, more sneaky gameplay, play, if you want a more individual game, you shouldn't have these kind of things happen. You shouldn't have these beware advantages. You shouldn't have probably a 30-pound chain people have to dig up and carry around to find an idol, because almost certainly you're going to have to loop in 2 to 3 to 4 people to unlock this idol or to get this idol in your possession. I can't see a world where just one individual person is going to be able to dig up this ball and chain all by themselves and also be able to unlock this thing all by themselves without making a racket and not being able to and not looping in anybody from their tribe. With the blue tribe, Alex obviously found this with Jake. That's probably where he wanted to stop. But then they looped in Sophie, and then at the very end, Jeremiah caught them walking around trying to find the box that they needed to unlock with this giant ball and chain. So, you know, 4 out of the 5 people, and now the entire tribe after Annie, know about this idol that Alex has, and that will be 4 people heading into the merge that knows Alex has an idol. And if they aren't getting along by the merge, that's information that they can use on Alex to possibly paint a target on him. I'm not a fan of how this idol was hidden, and I'm not a fan of the beware advantage at all, because I think it kind of incentivizes you to tell other people about the beware advantage. It makes you tell people about your idol. So once they looped in Sophie about Alex's idol and him finding the beware advantage, Jake said that both of them are his number one, and he doesn't know who he'll choose if it ever gets to that point. And I wonder if that's a foreshadowing moment. It seemed like there's a lot of foreshadowing moments for Jake, whether that be Annie saying, you know, if he gets to the jury phase of the game, none of us are going to beat him, or him saying, I don't know who I'm going to pick if it comes down to Sophie or Alex. I hope that that snake in the next episode doesn't end up taking him out of the game, because it does seem like there's a lot of angles and a lot of fun gameplay that Jake has in store, and a lot of storylines that can possibly finish that will be very entertaining involving Jake. When they looped in Sophie, though, it made things more interesting, because she ended up finding the idol that finding the box that the idol was in, and she said in the confessional is she didn't like how close Alex was getting to Jake, and she ended up hiding the box a little bit more. She hid it under some twigs, some leaves and things. She said that she wanted to find this idol. She wanted to take this for herself. So she even tried to sneak the ball and chain, tried to get it for herself and unlock this box so she could have the idol for herself. Alex, again, just sucks at reading maps, bro. Like, they had a map to this thing. Alex couldn't find it. Sophie finds it, and she was trying to execute this absolutely brilliant sneaky play, and she almost got the ball and chain away, and she almost was able to unlock it and claim this idol for herself. But at the very last second, Alex was able to look down, kind of like how he found the idol as well. He just kind of looked down at his feet, found the box, unlocked it, and got the idol from himself. And it's pretty unfortunate, because this would have been a sneaky, awesome, amazing play from Sophie, but it wasn't to be. Before we dive into Tribal Council, let's talk about the journey in this episode, with Matt from the Yellow Tribe, Jawan from the Red Tribe, and Jake all going on this journey. Two people who I assume were going to be targets this episode, that being Matt and Jake. Jawan gave a confessional before this journey, saying when he hugged Jake, he was shocked by his muscles and was rethinking his decision to go on this journey with his vote on the line. I initially thought to myself, don't worry, you don't need to be strong to roll dice. And, you know, none of these journeys have ever really been anything that involves strength. I mean, all of it has been luck-based. However, it did end up being a physical competition where they each had to fill each other's baskets up with coconuts, and the last player remaining ended up getting power, and the last two go back to camp. And as it seemed, there were going to be no more losing votes at this journey. And I really was kind of celebrating this. I was like, man, Survivor figured it out. You know, don't just take players' votes away. This is amazing. This was a good learning experience from Survivor, and this is going to be an amazing, great moment. And Jawan ends up winning the power after being a little bit stressed from having to play Jake and having that good little confessional moment, saying, I was scared of his muscles. I didn't think I was going to have a chance. But then, you know, it ends up being a physical competition. Jawan wins. He was the, you know, probably consensus target on that Red Tribe. And this was probably the most interesting result and one of the more interesting ways to do a journey. It was actually a competition. It was fun to watch. It came down to the wire, and I really enjoyed it. But as soon as we thought that all the players were going to keep their vote, Jawan gets offered an extra vote, but he had to steal either Matt's or Jake's vote. And this is so dumb. Why didn't you just stick to what you had originally and and how you had it planned out, where everybody kept their vote and you could have just gave Juwan an extra vote or a steal a vote, whichever one it was. Nobody's ever had to steal somebody else's vote to get the steal a vote when they found it before. Why are we doing it now? You had everybody on the edge of their seats being excited that everybody was going to keep a vote. Why would you go back on it? It's such a dumb tease and it's such a idiotic way to look at the game. I bet every Survivor fan, at least every diehard Survivor fan, heard this news or heard that there was going to be, everybody was going to go back with their vote. I was like, heck yeah, this is great. This is awesome. And then when they said you either have to steal Matt or Jake's vote, my eyes went into the back of my head. I rolled them so hard. I was like, you got to be kidding me. There's no way that they are actually doing that. But they did. And that was their way of offering Juwan a steal a vote. You could either have that or give his tribe an advantage at the next immunity challenge, and that's what he ended up choosing. However, that's not to say that I'm going to let Survivor off the hook with how they would have done that steal a vote thing, and that disadvantage didn't end up mattering for the yellow tribe who Juwan gave the disadvantage to, and it was a pretty insane disadvantage, if I'm being honest. Everybody got strapped up with 20 pounds of coconuts, and instead of having one key to unlock your rope, they had 10 keys, and only one of them was the right key, yet they still came out and got first place in this competition. And I am, once again, really surprised at how well this yellow tribe has done at these competitions. And it's really came down to the fact that they do so well at these puzzles. The red tribe and the blue tribe, especially the blue tribe, do not do well at the puzzles at all. The blue tribe had a massive advantage and lead, but squandered it because I don't think any of them can do a puzzle. They literally didn't place a single piece. And after being on top of the podium, studying the puzzle, looking at the puzzle, they did not place a single piece, and the red and the yellow tribe were both able to catch up. This is all backwards, because I would have told you, and I did tell you at the beginning of the season, that I would have assumed that the yellow tribe would have been the one that was going to get picked off one by one, and that the blue tribe was going to be the one that won the most competitions. However, it has completely been flipped, where the yellow tribe has won all the competitions, and the blue tribe is the one that's getting picked off one by one by one. And once we figure out that the blue tribe is going to tribal, we get Annie deciding that she wants to switch things up. She wants to change her vote and she wants to change where everything is going. So she has to inform everybody, especially Jake. You know, Jake is a very important vote in this situation. She wants to go ahead and target Sophie, because after her performance in that puzzle, she just cannot stick around, and she knows that this is going to be a hard vote for Jake. So she needs to go to Jake and she needs to say, look, I know that Sophie's your number one, but as far as tribe strength goes, she just has to go. And I'm sorry that it has to happen, but that's how it is. And Jake says, you know, I'm gonna cry, and this is gonna be a tough vote for me, but I agree with you. You know, Sophie needs to go. And then immediately after that, we get a confessional from Jake saying, I'm not writing Sophie's name down. And it was just so funny. Like, the whole beginning of the episode was everybody dunking on Annie for thinking that she was this puppet master and had complete control of this game. And that's really what the whole pre-tribal was about, was just them dunking on Annie for being so aloof and not knowing that she was in danger the whole time. She really thought that she was running this tribe. I mean, her vote out was actually a blindside, and it was so funny to see her reaction. Everybody at home, it was so obvious. And I think everybody else on that tribe, it was also so obvious. Did not make any sense how she did not see that coming. But I think probably the most interesting thing about this vote off was, before we got to tribal, Alex actually tells Annie about his idol. That was a weird play for me, because it was almost like he was trying to do some jury management, but Annie was obviously not going. It seemed like, you know, if, in Annie's mind, even if he was trying to do some jury management, you know, like in Annie's mind, it'd be like, if you knew you had the idol, why would you not try to protect me? You didn't even throw a vote to try to protect me. It seemed like you knew I was going home. How does this work? Why did you do this? It just kind of seemed like he was doing a little bit too much, which is kind of why I'm kind of getting a little bit down on Alex, you know, as this game has moved on a little bit. And as he found the idol too, he said, told Jeremiah that he fears that him and Jeremiah are going to be on the bottom, so they need to make a move. Could be something down the line where, you know, Sophie could be in trouble, but I don't know how realistic that is going to be. As far as as that Blue Tribe goes, my player rankings, as we are going to be diving into now. At number four, I do actually have Alex, because I do think Alex has been getting a little bit too cocky, actually, despite having an idol in his pocket and despite having the most confessionals on the show so far. We've heard a lot from him, but the loudest from the garbage tribe, at least in the new era, usually does not last long. I mean, you look at Say, you look at Banu. If they lose another challenge, I do think Sophie is closer to Jeremiah. I just think Sophie is a better strategic player than Alex is, and this is going to be a real make or break round if they go to tribal again, because it's either going to be Alex or it's going to be Sophie, and I could have the order of these two players wrong and it could be Sophie, but I just have this gut feeling that Alex was showing Annie his idol, didn't really need to do that, him going up to Jeremiah and saying we need to make a move, they didn't make a move. I just think that all this stuff is not boding well for Alex, especially because I think Sophie is closer to Jeremiah, and I don't know if Jeremiah would want to work with Alex. I think that he would much rather try to work with Sophie and do something where they blindside Alex, who he knows has an idol. If they go back to tribal, I do think Alex could be in for a rude awakening, in my opinion. And coming in at number three, I do have Jeremiah. Like he did say in this episode, he is last to know about everything, and he's just kind of eating earthworms out there. And at number two, I have Jake, and if that snake doesn't take him out, I do think that he's pretty much a lock for the jury phase of the game, and he's going to be running things alongside his number one, Sophie, who almost had a really fun play and almost took things to a fun little villain level if she would have took Alex's idol away from him, but she did not. I do think Sophie will have a chance this next round to kind of be a little bit devious, to kind of, you know, plant some seeds that Alex needs to go, and I think that she could possibly make that happen. I'm excited to see what she does here in this next round of gameplay and how she kind of goes about it, because I think she has to know that Alex needs to be next. They can't take Jeremiah out here, and obviously it can't be her, so Sophie needs to make a play here. I think she will do it, and hopefully again that snake from the scenes from our next episode doesn't take Jake out. And now let's talk about the red tribe, the four of Rizzo, Shannon, Savannah, and Nate all meet up for the first time, and it probably makes me feel the best probably about Nate, because this was the four that he really wanted, and Shannon was the only one who didn't touch on the four, at least when they initially formed. So I don't necessarily think that bodes well for her in terms of her winning chances, but with Nate being the first one to pitch this alliance, I do think that that kind of bodes well for him, and I really don't have a lot of good thoughts about Jawan, who made himself a target looking for idols. And you can tell this is Savannah's preferred target. He's rubbing her the wrong way, and he accidentally took her bag. Yeah, he's not going to be long for the game, especially after he didn't take that steal a vote. We heard a lot from Savannah, and we hear from Savannah probably more than anybody from the Red Tribe. And I don't know if that means that she is, you know, by default, extremely, without a doubt, the winner here or the most dominant person of this tribe, but she's definitely the narrator on this tribe. So as far as my rankings on this tribe, at six, I obviously have Jawan, who I think is going to be the next boot or the first boot from this tribe. You know, it's going to be kind of a consensus. At number five, I have Sage, who is a fun, entertaining presence on the show. I mean, she was the Easter Bunny, for God's sakes, but I don't think that she has a lot of gameplay to her. Don't know a whole lot about her. I kind of forgot she was on the show until she talked about being the Easter Bunny. And at number four, I have Shannon with six confessionals. Again, you know, she does a lot of the vibe stuff. She does a lot of the prayers. They prayed for her, for the crab. Again, when they first made this four, we heard from Rizzo, we heard from we heard from Savannah, and we heard from Nate, but we didn't hear from Shannon. We heard a little bit later on, you know, her thoughts on the four, but we didn't hear from her when it initially formed. So I don't think she's going to be a major factor in that alliance. I do think she'll be a vote. I do think she'll be number there, but I don't think she's going to be a huge factor by any means. At number three, I have Rizzo with 13 confessionals. Even with not a lot of confessionals this episode, he still surprisingly has the most on this tribe. He had a lot in the first episode. We didn't hear a whole lot from Rizzo other than the fact that he enjoys this new tribe that he is on, so not a whole lot to say about the Riz God. At number two, I have Nate, who I think had a really good personable moment on this episode. And I think that that's important. You kind of need some character moments to kind of build you up individually. Nate wanted this four, and this was kind of his doing, and this is how he wanted it to happen. We saw him bond with Rizzo one-on-one, and I think this is going to be a guy that is going to be tough to vote out and maybe even tough to beat at the end. And at number one, I have Savannah. It could be a trick. You know, the loudest person in the room often isn't the smartest in the room, but she talks with such conviction, and she does seem like she has her gamer hat on 24/7, and I do think she's the closest with Nate, and I think Nate will have the ability to kind of reel her in if she does get a little bit too trigger happy or if she does get a little bit too excited. I do think Nate is a good ally for her in that sense, so I'm still high on Savannah. Now, as far as the Yellow Tribe goes, I mean, we didn't hear from them pretty much at all. I mean, Steven was the first person we heard from, which I think kind of cements that he's going to be important coming up, and he once again showed how paranoid he was, saying that we got to play right now. Matt, Christina, Steven try to bring MC into their little group of three as the fourth, and Matt is the one that is tasked with doing this, and Matt literally said, "We want you to be the fourth," and his delivery of that was just so bad, and MC picked up on this. She even went out of her way to say that she really likes Steven, and it makes it harder again for me to read Steven, but I think his closeness with Matt will likely be his downfall, as well as his paranoia, which I think he does have a lot of. I was just kind of perplexed by that. She's like, "I do really like Steven." I'm like, that has to be, they kept that in for a reason. But she was skeptical of Matt, and I mean, I would have been too. MC, a group of threes coming in and says, "Hey, I want you to be the fourth." And when that group of four met up, they talked about targeting Sophie, and immediately MC took this information and ran it right to Sophie. I knew MC was going to be a legitimate player in this game. This kind of gave me a lot of hope for MC, and also gave me a lot of hope for her and Sophie, rather, potentially be probably the two that will be the most dominant out of this tribe. But again, we didn't really get a whole lot of interaction from these players, and my rankings go at number six, I have Matt. I still think Matt is going to be the first boot off this tribe. I don't really think he grasps the social element of the game. I don't think that he even really sees the problem with how he told MC, "Hey, we want you to be the fourth." Coming at number five, I have Steven. Even though Steven does seem like he's well-liked, and I mean, MC didn't need to keep that part where MC said, "I really like Steven." I still think that he's going to get himself in trouble eventually. And coming in at number four, I have Christina. At three, I have Jason. And my top two are MC and Sophie. Alrighty, guys, that was my Survivor 49 episode number two recap. What do you guys think? Leave your thoughts in the comment section down below. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Click the bell icon so you get notified every single time I drop a new video. Thank you guys so much for watching. As always, I hope you have a great rest of your day.